Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. You can't avoid disasters, no matter how hard you try. Whether they happen at your house or outside your house, you're going to come face to face with an emergency one day or another. But my question to you is, are you prepared?
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
How do you not die in an emergency? Well, this episode was inspired by an Ask Shauna question that came in from James and Melissa, who wanted to know how much money they needed to spend this year to truly be prepared for an emergency. So I thought, well, that's a great question. Why don't we just devote an entire episode to this? Because we love to spend money on the stuff that excites us, of course. But spending money to get ready for emergencies, it's just not sexy at all. But you know what is sexy? Getting yourself prepared. The good news is that you just don't need to spend a lot of money to be prepared. But friends, I want being prepared to be a goal on your list for this year. And today's guest, Lori March, is my go-to girl for all things preparedness. She's the brains behind Know How Studios, and you might have even seen her mug on the Cooking Channel and HGTV. Okay, I want you to sit back. I want you to roll up your sleeves because in today's episode, Lori is getting us prepared for anything that is going to come our way. So real quick, before we dive into the podcast episode, just a quick reminder that if you've got goals you want to smash in 2019, you need to run and sign up for our free 4-week email challenge, The Money Game Plan, before February 4th. You're going to set a goal, you're going to get a strategy in place, and you're going to have a lot of positive motivation from me. But more than anything, you're going to empower your money to go places this year. So sign up in the link in the show notes or head on over to bit.ly/mmoneygp. That's bit.ly/mmoneygp. I'll see you in the challenge. So Lori, we're going to start off with a bang question. How do we not die in a natural disaster?
I mean, that's an important question if you want to make it through, right? It's a big deal. I feel like a couple of life skills and a couple of cool supplies and you can totally not die in a disaster.
Yeah. You know, I think when I'm thinking about natural disaster and preparedness and things like this, you are obviously the expert at this. And I think it's so interesting because human nature, we don't want to talk about danger. We don't want to talk about risks. We don't want to talk about all of these really real elements that exist in all of our lives, whether it's money or it's preparedness. Why do you think as humans, that's just a topic we want to avoid at all costs?
It's a good question. I feel like most of us are really looking to live our happiest moments. And so we stay away from the stuff that hurts. We stay away from sad. We stay away from fear. We don't want to live it. We want to like relish, especially lately. I feel like our parents dug into that crap a lot more and we want to be happy, you know? We want to feel good. We want to reward ourselves. And I think the key to that is sometimes rewarding yourself for slogging through the crap you didn't want to do is potent, you know? You can give yourself that $5 coffee after you change the batteries in your smoke detector and just like celebrate yourself, you know?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because even when we talk on the podcast about money and being prepared around money, there are topics that people soak up a lot. I notice those episodes people are downloading and sharing those types of episodes. And yet it's this topic that still feels somewhat taboo. How can you bring that awareness to your situation when maybe you know you're not as prepared as you should be, but almost you don't know how to have that conversation or start that conversation?
I think it's okay to say, I am preparedness level zero. I know nothing. And to kind of correct what you said earlier, I'm not an expert. I am an enthusiast and we care. And we've spent an awful lot of time helping teach people how to do how-tos in the DIY world. And I feel like there's a huge correlation between being capable of doing DIYs and being capable of getting ready for emergencies and being a little more buttoned up. So I'm not an expert, but I don't think any of us has to be. You don't have to, you know, be able to build your own wilderness fort tomorrow. Some of these things are so basic. And if we can just get out of our own way and stop being afraid or procrastinating and just do a thing or two, it really is as simple as finding a flashlight in your house. Do you have a flashlight?
I actually do. We have multiple flashlights.
Where are they? Where are your flashlights?
That is not because of me. That is because of my husband. If it was up to me, we would probably be not prepared for anything. But we have, this is going to be a quiz now, right?
Yes.
We have flashlights next to bedstands.
Okay.
We have flashlights under the kitchen sink. There is probably a flashlight in the garage. See, I'm already failing at this.
No, actually, you're winning because you knew where the one by your bed was.
Yes.
That's important because a lot of disasters happen while you're sleeping.
Yes. And we have fire extinguishers. Ooh. We have two fire extinguishers, which again is pure credit of Jeff and none of my own.
Yeah.
And
spouses are awesome.
They are awesome. They help you be, you know, deal with touchy subjects that maybe you don't necessarily want to deal with yourself. I think living in a place where there's earthquakes, we grew up knowing you got to put shoes under a bed and things like that. So that's
Do you
a
have
given.
Shoes under your bed?
I do have shoes under my bed.
I'm so proud of you.
I know, right?
See, and I think you started this chat maybe feeling like you weren't that prepared, but you're already doing a lot of simple things. And a chunk of preparedness is just that simple.
Yeah.
It's not like you had to go buy the shoes.
Right.
You just have to spend a dollar on that preparedness, actually, which is great for your budget.
You just had to put the shoes there. You had to be mindful of things we have been talking about, have an awareness of the situation. But how do you approach getting prepared if you have absolutely nothing in place? Is it different if you're preparing and you live in earthquake country or you live where there's hurricanes? Blizzards, are you approaching this topic differently or is it the same conversation?
Sure. I think a lot of things are similar in that you have to be able to feed yourself and have water. So that's a basic, right? I feel like everyone should have a really good professional first aid kit in the home. Nice to have one in your car too, if you can.
What makes it professional?
Well, a lot of them are put together for you. And some of them are a little more tactical. So they might have a couple more elements in them for sort of treating problems that are a little bit bigger. some more basic first aid kits are sort of more like the bumps and bruises. Right. And then the ones that are a little more tactical could really, in sort of a triage moment, really help you with something a lot more complicated. So they tend to be around the same price. It's just really looking for what's included. But a professional one you didn't have to put together yourself.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's going to likely have the stuff that you need if you're injured or
sure.
burnt or something of that nature. Yep.
Yeah, wounds for sure. I think a lot of that is like having a first aid kit can really help you in the moment until someone more professional gets to you. I feel like that's a huge chunk of preparedness is it's not about you against the world in Armageddon. It's sometimes the services that you've come to expect might be delayed or busy somewhere else or something else more important is happening.
Right.
So how can you take care of yourself without being able to call 911 or until an EMT gets there to help sew up something that you cut on yourself really badly? Or, you know what I mean? It's really about like taking control in the moment and knowing that you actually can do something. In most cases, you can totally do something yourself.
And I think what's interesting, what you just said, it made me think about this, that there are those natural disasters that we know about, but there also could be just a disaster in your place.
Sure.
For instance, a couple months ago, we had this really weird experience where a bat got into our condo and was flying around. And I mean, I was panicked. So I was down at the front door. I wanted nothing to do with the bat. But Jeff was in there being super brave, trying to get the bat out. But if the bat had bit him or, I mean, that's just a very weird story,
life.
But it could be something that is contained in your home
sure.
that doesn't affect someone else, but requires some element of being prepared
yeah.
that you don't think about.
Sure. Like lots of people experience fires in their life, and they could be as large as a wildfire that affects an entire region. They could be neighborhood specific, and they actually could be just your kitchen. Your whole house could burn down, or just you could have had a grease fire. And so your level of preparedness and the level of response around you really changes. If your kitchen burned and you're out of your house, you might be able to go to your neighbor's house or your sister's house, or you have somebody in the church that you belong to that could take you in. And if it's your whole region, that's really different because the number of people who are affected by the disaster really changes the response, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I know you just recently were affected by the wildfires in Malibu, and you shared how being prepared actually helped you in that situation. What was that like going through that, being somebody who is into being prepared? if that even...
You know, at some point you sort of wonder if you called the fire to yourself by having the preparedness. My team and I have been working on a preparedness course because I strongly believe that we all could do a lot of small things and be a lot more prepared in our everyday life. So we've been cranking on this for a couple months to do a bunch of great research and, you know, put together some content that is easy to absorb. This stuff can get so heavy. So knee deep in the middle of this content work that we've been doing, the Woolsey fire swept through and burned my beach house down. So our structure is still there. I was able to walk in and walk around in my house. It's burned out. I mean,
which just sort of blows my mind because I've seen the pictures yeah. that you've posted, and it feels strange that you could be able to still walk in the space. You know, my head goes to, well, there wouldn't be a floor or there wouldn't be walls, but you can have a fire and you could have it be completely destructive and
sure.
yet still be able to roam around the place.
Yeah. And a lot of people, we're so blessed that this is not the home we sleep in every night, you know?
Right.
We did not lose every one of our belongings. This is our family beach house. It's an, you know, a big investment that we made together. And I won't say I didn't cry a little, but it's not the same. And you know, our thoughts have really been with everyone who truly lost everything. And it just changes everything. You know, for us, we were able to come back to the space, and approach it and root through it and see if there was anything there. See if we could salvage anything. To your point, the structure is still there. That's one thing you never know with a disaster, whether it's a flood or a fire. Is it going to be completely gone? Like a
yeah.
lot of people's homes were completely leveled. There is nothing left. Paradise, California, most of that whole place, there is nothing left. So
you can't even, there's nothing salvageable not even.
Really. So you're not, some people are, you know, I just had a chat with a friend who said his family sifted through their home after a disaster and found his grandma's diamonds. All
oh my
of them,
gosh.
Because they don't melt.
Wow.
Crazy, right? They found a couple, she collected teacups and they found a couple of her vintage teacups that had been in a cabinet. But they found all her rings based on the location in the home that they had been and a lot of sifting, and they were able to reset them. So she had her diamond ring back. But
so message to everyone, invest in diamonds, right? That's just an, that's just another way to
husband, are you listening?
Promote diamond buying. They don't burn up in fires.
They don't.
And they're shiny and we can find them.
You can. At much effort, I think they put into that. But for us, the walls were still there and the floor was there. It really does look like a set. It looks like a Mad Max movie. Everything is kind of melted, but the firefighters were able to use water to put out the fire. So some of our fire damage is actually water damage, you know?
Right, which is not something that you would normally think about when there's fires. It's, oh, by the way, there's going to be water damage. Sure. And the water damage could completely...
quickly turns into mold damage too, by the way. It's just an interesting layer of one of the things. We actually went back there the other day and I took one of my buddies who's a camera guy. And I was like, I really want to share some thoughts on how I'm feeling and what it looks like and what you can expect. Because I think we don't, these are taboo things like debt, you know?
Yeah, it's a topic that you're not talking about.
We don't talk about. So you might say, my house burned down, it's over. But people don't really share that aftermath very often, and the process and the paperwork and the phone calls and the arguments, you know, like we don't share it.
It's not like here's a check. Thank you very much for insuring your property with us. It doesn't happen that fast. And the emotional side of losing something or the emotions in a natural disaster, just a fear of not knowing what's going to happen, I think that's where preparedness helps you potentially alleviate, not even alleviate, but helps you feel a little bit more comfortable in a strange situation.
Yeah. You're out of control. I feel like when something like this happens to you, you're not in control of your life. You're not in control of your property, your feelings, your money. Like all these things spiral in those moments. And so if you are emotionally grounded in the knowledge that you have a home inventory, you have photos of your belongings, you got insurance. You know, we were lucky enough and it's important to me to insure our properties enough. When you do those things, you feel more solid. You know that you're facing something that sucks and it's sad and it's uncomfortable, but you do have a couple of those things addressed and you know it's in your back pocket. And so you come at it with a little bit of armor on almost, you know, like
yeah.
You have a little bit more confidence. And again, it's not our primary home. I didn't lose every single thing I own. So that's also different. But the fight is the same afterward, no matter what. You're rebuilding, you're talking to insurance. You know, there's a red tag on my home that the fire department put there. There's a note from the EPA about chemicals. You know, there's things you have to pay attention to. And the process afterward can be really overwhelming. So doing some things in advance to take care of yourself. By the way, you don't have to be a homeowner to have insurance. You should have renter's insurance too. Because if the person below you burns down the unit and you have an apartment and all your belongings are gone, if you didn't have that renter's insurance, you're taking care of it yourself afterwards. So,
and always make sure that you have adequate insurance, right? I mean, that's something that you said you were very thankful for, that you had enough insurance that in a natural disaster that you were taken care of. A lot of people just choose the cheapest policy until there's a problem.
Right.
And I mean, the same thing with car insurance. You know, you could go across the board, but it's something where you don't want to cheat.
It's a gamble. I mean, when's the last time you won when you were in Vegas?
Never.
Not very often.
Which is why I don't like Vegas.
Insurance is mafia too, you know, like you don't win. So if your coverage is not replacement value coverage and it's something less, you're really you're gambling with your future self and your possibilities. So really thinking in advance about knowing how to take care of yourself in any situation, these skills are not just for one little spot of your life. They work in so many other corners of your life. It all really, it matters, you know, just do the homework, I guess.
Yeah.
We feel lucky that we did some of that homework now. And as we're facing doing all this work with the insurance company and rebuilding, we've got, you know, it's almost like you have an ace in the hole, kind of. I did the inventory, so it's there. I know what that is. I don't have to emotionally go through and remember every single spatula in the kitchen to get recompensated for it.
And that's something I've talked about on the podcast before, the inventory idea, but you might be able to have a little different take or shed some extra tips on that. How can you painlessly go about taking inventory of your house and store it in a way that it's there when you need it?
I mean, I think the first thing you can do is grab a smartphone, a folding table, and invest in a rolling rack, because you need to open up your closet and photograph your belongings. A lot of people have a chunk of their belongings in their closet. You know, if you have a collection of purses, or if you are somebody who has a ton of nicer clothing, you're not going to remember what it was. But if you have a photograph of it, you can get compensated for it. So folding tables so you can spread your belongings out and shoot them. A true inventory should take you a couple of hours if you do it right.
So are you photographing literally everything, or are you just taking maybe like a video of your closet? How detailed does it need to be?
I think a video is better than nothing, but the photographs are what will give you what you need. So I stand in every corner of the room and photograph from it outward. That gives you sort of an eagle eye view of everything that's in the space. I open drawers. I open the closet, you know, shoot all your shoes, all your jewelry, all your makeup, all your, you know, your inventory also will, all my food burned up that was in the house, all the things, all the dishes burned. There is a replacement value to those things. The spice drawer, the refrigerator. I try to also photograph if you can get at a logo for your washer, dryer, your appliances, you know, a model number if you can see it.
That's a really good tip. I wouldn't normally think about that, but you're right. If you're trying to come up with a value of something.
What was that dishwasher? I don't know. I mean, it's a $1,000 dishwasher, but they're going to tell you it was a $200 dishwasher and compensate you for that. So if you don't have proof of the things, if you have a coffee maker, is it a Ninja coffee maker or is it a Breville $18 coffee maker? You know, they're always going to compensate you for the lesser amount. So anywhere that you have a nicer piece of furniture, a luxury good, a nicer, your pots and pans, perfect example. You have a $60 skillet or do you have a $10 Goodwill special? Well, they're only going to pay you for
the Goodwill special
or pan. So you don't have to go crazy over it, but I do think the places, your television, you know, your AV technology, you might not remember what you had, and you have it in every room sometimes. You have more than one TV, right? You don't think of those things. Your appliances in your bathroom, like trimmers and hair, like my blow dryer was expensive. I wouldn't have thought of that.
I would not have said
blow dryer, but I did buy a nice one a couple years ago and I still have it. Your fan, you probably have a nice fan or a heater somewhere in your house, stuff like that. You would never think of it, but you're not going to get compensated for it unless it's on a list somewhere. So I just use my smartphone. I drop everything into a folder. I like to use Dropbox or Evernote. They're both a great way to organize things. And you also should be saving it not just on your computer, but you know, Dropbox and Evernote are in the cloud, so it's going to be there for you later.
If your computer burns up or something happens to your computer, then you have that backed up someplace where you can access it. That would be the worst case scenario. You only back up.
Don't forget to take a picture of the computer.
Don't forget to back up your phone.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. So, and then separately, I think it's nice to put it on sort of a USB drive and As you get to a point where you're a little more prepared, you start to think about this is in one location and maybe a fire safe. You put those things that matter most to you, any deeds and documents and paperwork, will, you know, things that, that prove who you are in case your home does burn to the ground and your wallet was in it. Those are things that you can tuck into a fire safe, and you can put that inventory on a little USB stick drive in there, and it's just, it's there. Sometimes people store them on site. I know some friends who store them in a lockbox off-site somewhere or at a friend's house. I mean, they have tech now where it could actually be like a thumbprint to unlock it. So,
wow,
you know, you can protect it. If you have a really fancy art collection and you're afraid that, you know, putting it all in one place tells somebody what you've got. I mean, that's accurate.
That is, yeah.
Right. But you have the ability to lock these things down now and make them a lot more safe. Password protected folders on your computer or in your Dropbox.
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, EarnIt provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. EarnIt is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the EarnIt app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck.
I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. "Talkin' Money" under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial.
Wow, those are amazing tips. We haven't even got into the preparedness stuff yet.
But that is preparedness.
It is, and it's really, really important, I think, for everyone to do regardless. So I know we're sitting in front of some different various goodies that might go into somebody's preparedness. You call it backpack. So walk me through a little bit about how are you thinking about what are the different products or stuff that you need to put in a kit for yourself to be prepared? And how would you go about knowing what is right for you?
Right. It's a giant question.
Yeah, it I know. Really I just is. Asked you like the $50 million question.
It's a great question. I think most preparedness begins in your living space. And most things that go sideways are things that you'll be dealing with at home. So there's a lot out there about how to take things with you and be prepared to on the go, to be leaving. A lot of people actually call that book bag a bug out bag, or your sort of emergency escape kit, right? These are the things you need to leave your home with. Well, unless you're running away from a hurricane or a snowstorm that's going to be extremely damaging, or a wildfire, lots of things that go wrong, you're actually better to just shelter in your house. So a lot of our preparedness lives at home. And you just have to start by thinking about your risks. What are the things that could happen? Well, number one, the power could go out, right?
Sure.
Hey, that means there's no Netflix. So it's nice to have a book or two laying around. That could be preparedness.
A book? What is that?
Right? Well, what if your iPad couldn't charge or your Kindle and you couldn't read? Well,
I can't imagine.
It would be rough, right? Hey, a solar charger would get you through and you could put it in the sun. Every single day, the sun would come back up again, right? So you could be charging that Kindle or that iPad. You could still have access to all your digital stuff. or, you know, at night you need to make sure that you can see, right? So candles, matches, these are all things that are nice, flashlights, great to start with. These things are so unsexy, aren't they?
They're very unsexy.
Like not one of these things jumped out at you and was like, let's start a Pinterest board.
About flashlights and
you're not
solar
on
panels.
No,
right?
No,
but I would be if I really needed it.
Right.
For sure.
Moment.
I'd be like, oh, Lori told me if I would have had this thing, I would be in a completely different situation now.
Yeah, it's not sexy. But I will tell you, when you had the thing you needed, you feel smug. You feel so self-satisfied. When you had that flash, it happened to me the other day. The power went out. I happened to be in the bathroom. I was just about to pee.
That's the worst place.
The power went out and I had a flashlight in there. And I left that bathroom with a flashlight in my hand and like the most self-satisfied look on my face, I'm sure, while I was headed to the breaker box to figure out what went wrong. Because I had the damn flashlight in the bathroom. Like, when does that happen?
Hardly ever. And you found the flashlight, which is the other key.
It's where I left it. Right. That's the other thing. You know, part of preparedness is if, especially if you're in a couple, you got to tell the other person where the flashlight is.
Right.
One person can't be prepared alone.
That would be another disaster, I think.
It would be a lot less fun to have to root around and find the things because you thought your spouse might have gotten them. But, you know, preparing, if more than one person uses your home, it's great to have that communication so that everybody knows where the flashlight is, right?
Right.
It's important.
So what about things like food and water? If we're in our house for an extended period of time, how do we prepare those sorts of things? Is there better things to have than
sure.
others?
This is a thing you could make as simple or complicated as you want. So at the most basic in your home, it's great to have peanut butter and crackers, tuna fish, stuff that you could potentially just make without having to heat or cook, you know, no boiling, no, you didn't have to use any appliance.
Easy stuff, yeah.
Yep. Cereal, you know, granola bars, trail mix, soup that if you really wanted to, you could eat it out of a can if you had to, you know, there's just things that you can consume that don't require a ton of prep. These are great things to start with for your kit.
If we had cereal in our house for our preparedness kit, we would have to seriously hide it. Or it would be gone.
You know, my trick for that is I put it on a upper shelf I can't reach without a ladder.
That is a good trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have busted into my preparedness kit recently when I ran out of coffee one morning and grabbed these. Actually, I put it here on purpose so you can see this. This is instant coffee, which is kind of sacrilege to most people, except what do they say? In the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Listen, when you run out of coffee and you find instant coffee packets, you are king.
Right?
So
or at least you've scratched your coffee itch for the moment.
Yeah. But this is a perfect example. So if the power went out, I tend to consume coffee. I grind the beans myself. I plug a grinder in and I grind the beans and then I put it into my coffee maker. Those two things use electricity. So if the power is out, I can't grind the beans. We can't really make coffee with like the bean without the grind. So this is pre-ground. I could actually just pour this into cold water if I'm sort of coffee jonesing.
Desperate.
Sad and really need it. I've done this before on a job site where I just really wanted a coffee. There's no hot water anywhere. I just poured it into a water bottle. I drank it. I lived. I live to tell another day. And so did my crew, by the way. I didn't kill anybody.
So if you're a coffee junkie, obviously it sounds ridiculous, but
yeah.
You should probably have some instant coffee lying around.
You're not a coffee person. I know this because
yes.
Yeah, I can tell.
I cannot relate.
This is a great example. If I was making a book bag to go out into the world in case of emergency, you bet your ass I'd have a couple of these in there because part of emergencies is also about knowing that you're without all of your comforts. If something really goes sideways, you have to change your life for a couple days or a couple hours or for a while. You know, people who are out of their homes for hurricanes, their creature comforts, the things they're used to that made their life good can be gone in a minute. So something as simple as having the drink you drink all the time available to you or, you know, if you're somewhere and you have it like hurricanes, if you haven't been able to bathe in a while or take a shower, having these wipes become so important. This is like a shower, one shower, individually wrapped in a package that you can bust out sometime in a public restroom, do a full wipe down, and feel so much more comfortable. So no one thing saves your life. But in the moment when you're not okay, things like this could make you so much more comfortable and make you feel okay when you're not okay. You know, I think that's kind of part of what people miss about preparedness. You're not going to know. You can't read the world. You don't know what's coming.
Right.
But having a couple of things that you know how to use, that you have in a safe place, and have a couple skills, you know, these things really get you 10 steps ahead if something does go sideways. So,
and even as, I mean, we're both fairly strong women, I could probably say that pretty confidently, but even being a strong woman, there's still a lot of things that at least me, I don't inherently know how to do. Like, sure. I don't know how to start a fire. I don't know some of these things that maybe could help in a situation of disaster. So for women particularly, I mean, I just feel like the preparedness conversation is maybe even more important. And that may be, I don't think that's making a sweeping negative remark. It's just there's a lot of things that we tend to either let a boyfriend or a spouse or a friend do for us that in a moment of being needing to be prepared if we live by ourselves, that sure, we would need to know how to do those things.
Yeah. And it's not that you couldn't figure it out. This is here on purpose, this cute little Zippo, because matches, a lot of them, when they get wet, you can't use them. So you might have matches sitting around, but if you're, you know, if it's pouring or if you're hurricane, you know, riding out a storm somewhere, and if part of what you needed to do was light a match somewhere or you've gone out, if your matches get wet, you can't use them. So it's having some of the right stuff for what comes your way. We don't really get hurricanes here in LA, so waterlogging things is not necessarily what I need to worry about.
Right.
We have earthquakes, right? We have wildfires. So the things that we think about can be a little bit different than the things that you would think about if you're on the coast and you need to get out of your home quickly if there's something sort of barreling your way in the next couple of days. So in a moment, you could totally make a fire. I know you could. You really could.
I'm sure I could if it was like, you know.
But imagine how good you would feel about it if you had done it one time before you needed to.
Oh, it's like everything. You would feel so empowered that
it's
you could do
like
it.
Like your fire extinguisher. Have you ever pulled the pin on it?
I have not, but I probably should.
Yeah.
That'd probably be a good idea.
Maybe. Right? What would it feel like to know? What does it feel like when you pull the pin? What comes out? What do you have to do? Is it heavy? Can you hold it? If you had to point it at your stove and put out a fire, would you feel comfortable doing it? You could figure it out. You surely would figure it out. I know you would. But some of these things you can actually try in advance, and then you feel like a ninja because you've done it.
Right.
You know?
So why don't we, I mean, I know with your company, Know How Studios, you're creating resources to help people be able to touch and feel things and to be able to be familiar. But why don't we have these conversations? I mean, I know it's because we don't like to, but how come we're not in situations where, and maybe if we're in the Boy Scouts, we've been in the Boy Scouts or something like that, but I was in the Brownies and
I was a Brownie too until I got kicked out.
I don't think that I learned, no offense to the Brownies, I'm not sure I learned a lot of life skills. You know, I say this about money too. We don't teach people about money. We just sort of throw you out there and then, okay, you got to figure it out. But
right,
this is important stuff that you should be able to touch and come in contact with. And yet we don't.
A good parallel, actually. And I think it's partially because instant gratification is way more fun. I admit it's way more fun to go to the mall and shop and buy things. It's way more fun to eat a fancy lunch somewhere or go see a movie. You know, rarely do we wake up and say, today is the day I am going to do my home inventory and top to bottom. Like, we don't reward ourselves enough for those moments. We don't receive that, like, what is it, the serotonin spike?
Right.
We didn't, like, the glee of having accomplished something. We don't pat ourselves on the back enough for that. It's like the checkbook balance, you know, do you know what's in your numbers? Have you looked? Do you know what's in your savings account and what you owe? Like, are you like covering your eyes and not looking? Preparedness is really the same. So I think we all have to celebrate each other and ourselves when we do something, anything, anything.
I agree.
Literally put the flashlight next to the bed. Put a pair of shoes you don't have to tie under your bed. If you sleep nude, put some pants down there too.
Please,
guys and gals.
Please,
you know what I'm saying? My friend Cindy says she has a bra in her nightstand because her life fear is that she's going to be in an emergency situation without a bra. I'm like, girl, I believe you. Like, if that's what you're worried about, everybody's preparedness begins somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it really does. So that is a step. You will know that you have the shoes under your bed and the flashlight. And I urge everybody to check your smoke detector. It's really a real powerful thing to have a smoke detector and a carbon monoxide detector. There's a lot of things in your home that don't smell that can kill you. And a carbon monoxide detector can stop some really sad things from happening, you know?
Especially if you could do something that would
it's
stop
20 bucks.
It. Right.
$20. My aunt almost died from a leak and you just don't know. You literally just fall asleep and don't wake up with carbon monoxide poisoning. And
I think that's the good point that we've talked about this before, but you don't have to spend a lot of money. So it's not like you need thousands of dollars to get a few things or
right.
to feel prepared. Sometimes it's even the stuff that you have. It's just about putting it in a better location or in a location you know. But I mean, you talk about this more than I do, but it shouldn't cost you a ton of money to get a few things, right?
Sure. It doesn't have to. Sometimes the simplest way is when you go to the grocery store, adding on a couple things. Toilet paper is a preparedness tool.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Don't be stuck without it. You
that
know?
Would be bad.
But hey,
bad
if news. You're in your home for 2 weeks and you can't get out for whatever reason, you know, the normal standard things you run out and grab, you might not be able to get. Amazon might not be able to get to you. So, you
God
know.
God forbid.
Right?
I can't get my shipment in 2 days. What
right.
is going on?
Can I get that toilet paper prime?
Right. And now you're telling me I can't read my iPad or whatever.
No.
I mean, life is just will cease.
Serious.
I'm just kidding. But
Serious.
But in all honesty, these are things that we're very used to having in our world. And when they're not, it's uncomfortable experience and you feel scared and out of your element.
Yeah.
So I'd love to know. Tell me a little bit about KnowHow Studios and kind of how you came to the preparedness. Like, why is this a topic that you are so passionate about?
KnowHow Studios is a project that we launched actually almost 2 years now with several other people that are also really invested in using our creative skills for good. I just feel like there are so many things that we've lost in the march of technology, the ability to do things with our hands, life skills that people used to know. We kind of call them grandma skills. it could be canning, or for some people, it could be sewing, whittling, I don't know, you know, making things. Bartering is a grandma skill. Trading with your neighbors. Growing a garden is one of the most powerful grandma skills. It's the ability you have to provide for yourself and take care of yourself. Resilience. I mean, this is big, you know, resilience is bouncing back faster. Life will come at you. It will. And, you know, we've all experienced that in lots of different ways. So for us, KnowHow is a creative venture where we get to really explore some of the things that we all wish we knew more about. And some of them are really fun too. Like, one of our team members, Sam, is learning all about whiskey and bourbon and scotch. And sometimes it's a journey down, you know, down into a glass, right? Where you're discovering a passion for something. You could be learning calligraphy. You know, for us, it's really all about your curiosity.
Yeah.
Right? Like, follow your nose into something that's not a screen. Find something that speaks to you and do it with us. We want to celebrate you. If you learned how to cook and you're a terrible cook, you didn't burn something for the first time. I want to know, you know, I want to be there to jump up and down and celebrate you doing that Because one day when I learn how to, I mean, for me personally, there's 100 things I want to learn, but I want to learn how to, you know, truly survive outside by myself if I need to, and camp for days or change a tire.
Yes.
There's things I want to know, and there's no school for it necessarily. There's definitely classes here and there and people who teach it, but we want to create a community where we all celebrate each other in the things that don't live in our computer or our phone. I mean, ironically, we share these things together on social networks because that's how we all talk. But one of our biggest goals with KnowHow is to get in the same room. And so this is putting people together in classes from across the country, you know, learning how to be more prepared together. So preparedness courses, classes, and things we can go through together on how to have a more mindful home, how to make better decisions, how to make less waste. I think all of us are super invested in that, you know, realizing we make a lot of trash. What can I cut down? I think there's a lot of stuff we can cut out that I won't even feel. Things that didn't even affect my life. Like, what a wonderful place to start. It wasn't a loss. Like, I didn't suffer. I just stopped using that much plastic, you know? Wow, that wasn't hard. Paper towels. I've almost completely stopped using paper towels. And I don't miss them. Unless the dog barfs, I still use paper towels for that. I'm not going to lie. There's like a dog barf. I'm not going
to
clean it
up. Well, there
with
are,
washcloth,
you know, some reasons, yes, to use things like that. Well,
but you can diminish so many things without, I think people are afraid these things are going to affect their life so much. Like, it's such a loss, you know, or a sacrifice. It doesn't really have to be.
Yeah. Wow. We have talked about so much today. I feel like this is one of those podcast episodes that you should bookmark and come back over and over again, because there's all these little really gems in this podcast. But if you could leave the listeners with one tip or one takeaway or one thing to focus on as we're in the new year, we're in 2019, and if we could spend just a minute thinking about preparedness, what would you tell them?
One thing, I think you just have to start. It's not about perfection, it's about progress. So for me, it would be put the shoes under your bed. When you're at the grocery store, get a couple of extra cans of something. How many gallons of water are in your house? Add a couple more. Do you know what your breaker box looks like? Maybe learn how to, you know, it's not hard. Flip a breaker here and there, you know. There's simple, if you can hang a picture, you can be more prepared in your life. It's not that complicated. And it's really just kind of doubling down on some of the stuff you're already doing. So the number one thing I would say is just start. Start anywhere. And you don't have to spend any money necessarily, right? The shoes under your bed are free.
Maybe. Unless you want to go out and buy a new pair of shoes, but I'm not going to, you know, hold that against you.
And I honestly, that's an interesting point. I do think sometimes the adoption of a habit has to inspire you to make a change. So that's partly why I think it's okay to buy the stuff. If the stuff is going to help you make your life change, buy the stuff. I bought really cute water bottles, so I would stop buying plastic water bottles. I spent money on them. I did not amortize the cost and think about I bought the cute thing, and it helped me change my behavior. So it's not about, you know, giving up on all the stuff you love and convenience. Sometimes it is a little more inconvenient, but if you love the cute water bottle you bought, you're way more likely to adopt the habit. And sometimes getting there is what matters, right? Adopt the habit. Go buy the cute water bottle. Sorry. You can balance the budget. I'll tell people, go buy the water bottle, because that's sometimes how we make change, you know?
I think that is just so powerful. Well, Lori, this has been incredible. Again, like I said, so many gems in this episode. But tell listeners, where can they go to find out more about KnowHow Studios and about all the preparedness stuff that you're working on?
The simplest place to find us is knowhowstudios.com. Also, our social handles are all at KnowHow Studios. We love to hear from people. We want to know what their questions are, what they've already prepared. If you've got a flashlight next to your bed, I want to know about it. You know, if there's a habit that you want to learn, and we want to support people learning great things. We'll be your biggest cheerleader. because I think that's something I want to wake up and read every day on my social feeds is people being nice to each other and supporting each other and learning new stuff. So nohowstudios.com at nohowstudios, and we'll be there to support you.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Remember to subscribe to the podcast. It's absolutely free, and you'll make sure you never miss an episode of Millennial Money. You can also listen to all our episodes on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, and Pandora.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money with wealth management, trust services, and insurance, so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.